Ask the Doctor is brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare.
Welcome to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. It is brought to you by St. Vincent's, and every single Saturday at 2 o'clock, we are here to answer your questions, your comments, anything health related, specifically to the show topic we're doing. And today we're touching on a topic that I'm really excited about, and it's one that just it's a silent disease. It affects so many people and so many families. And we're talking about diabetes, wound care, type 1, type 2, gestational diet, living with it, preventing it. And our guest today, I'm so happy about it, is Dr. Jeff Schoen. And if you do have a question for Dr. Schoen, the number to call is 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. Dr. Schoen, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, how you got into treating diabetes and what led you to really make this your life's work.
Well, I'm a podiatrist, staff podiatrist at the St. Vincent's facilities. I've been doing podiatry for well over 30 years, and it's a big part of most podiatrist practices. We deal with it because long-term prevention of infections and amputations is a big part of our work.
And off air, prior to doing the segment right here, you were telling me that I think in your words you chose the silent disease. Why do you refer to diabetes that way?
Because you can have symptoms and not even know it. It's a gradual onset, usually in the type 2. This can occur when your blood sugars gradually increase. You're not even aware of it. And it's only when you get into a diabetic crisis, then you find out about it.
So there's different types of diabetes. There's type 1, which, so you're basically you're born with it and you're going to have that your entire life. Type 2, which you develop later in type in life, and then you have gestational diabetes as well. I guess you want to start on gestational?
Gestational usually has to relate to when some woman is pregnant. It can develop. You usually see it when the baby is over 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. This can be temporary during the pregnancy, but that is something that really our obstetrician gynecology colleagues deal with.
So is there anything that women can do during their pregnancy to lower the risk of developing this?
Listen to their gynecologist, make sure they're weights are within the parameters that they ask, and observation. Okay. Keep an eye on some of these things, but that would be something that you would want to talk extensively with your obstetrician gynecologist.
And now, do women that do develop it, do they have a higher risk of developing type 2 later in life?
They have a higher chance of it because it has affected their insulin production on some level, whether it's transitory or permanent. That's what their primary care doctor needs to follow up with their gynecologist.
Okay, and phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. I have Dr. Schoen here in the studio with me for Ask the Doctor, talking about type 1. So you're born with it. Does it stay for life?
It does. It's a permanent malfunction of your pancreas, which produces insulin. Type 2 is different because it's gradual. Instead of type 1, which you don't produce insulin, type 2, the pancreas is not working well, and the variations in how much insulin is being produced varies every day.
So you're talking about the pancreas and how that affects somebody's risk of getting the type 2. Are people who maybe they have pancreatitis, are they at a higher risk of developing diabetes?
Actually, one of the side effects of diabetes is pancreatitis.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So bringing it back to type 1, do you always have to carry your insulin on you?
You should always be carrying some, and this is for any diabetic, you should always be carrying some sugar or glucagon tablet with you at all times. This is for in case your blood sugar drops rapidly, and it does happen more frequently than people are aware. And this is something that can literally save your life.
And so do you have to be overweight to develop diabetes, or is that just a common misconception?
No. Most patients do have a weight issue, but I've seen some very lean and mean people with diabetes.
So let's talk about some of the causes of diabetes, because, you know, a lot of the show we're talking about how you can care for your disease if you have it, but there is a big reason I feel like people can get ahead of different diseases, and diabetes is one of them where you can really avoid it. Maybe somebody has been diagnosed as pre-diabetic. Do you have any tips on them about how they can maybe change their lifestyle, that kind of thing, to avoid it?
Once you're pre-diabetic, that means that you're usually on a medication. You haven't avoided it. I have patients all the time that tell me, I'm not diabetic, I'm pre-diabetic. From the standpoint of medicine, if you're pre-diabetic, you're diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
When you're pre-diabetic, lifestyle changes that are helpful are weight reduction, getting your A1C below 6 to 6.5. Exercise is a big thing, whether it's walking, swimming, biking, anything that gets your heart rate going that'll start moving things around. Diabetes, especially type 2, is a lifestyle disorder, especially in this country. We've all heard about the epidemic of obesity, and what in my career I'm already starting to see is type 2 mature onset diabetes in children because of the obesity issue in this country. We are overweight. And we are sedentary because a lot of us are working very hard and exercise is lower on the priority list. And it's easy to stop at Mickey D's and pick up food that may not be the best for you.
Sure, and it's cheaper, which has always been one of my biggest problems when it comes to diets, is eating junk food and crap food, whatever you want to call it, is so much cheaper than it is to eat healthy food. I've never really understood the dichotomy of that right there. And that can definitely lead to these higher levels of obesity. So you're now starting to treat people younger and younger that are coming down with diabetes. And do you have any advice for parents on how to avoid letting their children be in the type of physical shape that can lead them to that?
Get them away from the computer. Have them put down the smartphone, put them out the door, and have them go play.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't only for young people. It's for all of us. We've become to the point where trying to get out, trying to do some exercise, it's easier to sit in front of the computer and play it on the internet or catch up with your friends and family. But the old adage of get outside, put one foot in front of the other, sweat a little bit, is probably the best idea, best advice I can give. Eating right, of course, low sodium, low refined sugars, higher protein, higher vegetable content, lower starches. These are all the common sense things that is the beginning point. And then, of course, having all of this monitored by your primary care doctor, if you're more than 50 pounds overweight, you should not be just going out, starting an exercise program without getting checked out. It's all hitting spring now, and we're all wanting to be weekend warriors. But you have to be careful, especially people that are just starting out and over 50 pounds more than they should be. Check with your doctor, make sure he or she thinks it's a good idea, and then they will help guide you through an exercise and weight loss program.
I'm glad you mentioned the screen time doctor, Sean, because I was talking to a nutritionist from St. Vincent's who was on last week, and she was saying that, you know, when you cut down the screen time, you only allow yourself, let's say, 2 hours a day. No matter what you're doing, if it's just walking around outside or you're going to the mall to hang out with your friends, this specifically for young people, you're going to be getting more exercise than just sitting in front of your computer. So I think that's really good advice. Bringing back to diabetes a little bit is the amount of insulin you require based on the amount of carbs you consume, therefore making it reduce the carbs, reduce the insulin?
Good question, but again, it depends on the type. Whether your pancreas is fully functional or partially functional. And then if it's partially functional, how much? So that's where studies have indicated the more often that a patient checks their blood sugars, the less the risk of side effects.
And how often should people be raising their blood sugar levels?
Now, again, I'm a podiatrist, and that is not my primary area. However, it is recommended by studies that 3 to 5 times a day really decreases the long-term negative effects like blindness, kidney disease, small vessel disease, neuropathy, the last two of which I deal with a great deal in podiatry. But the more that you lower the peaks and valleys of your blood sugar, the less the risk of the less the amount of the side effects that occur.
Okay, and how many minutes is your blood glucose supposed to get back up? And does the type of food or juice that you might have eaten or drank, does that impact it?
Well, let's say I have a patient in the office whose blood sugar is suddenly dropped. The quickest way to get your blood sugar back up is to put either a glucagon tablet or a hard candy under your tongue. Don't chew it, just let it be absorbed. You have a lot of blood flow under your tongue, and it is the quickest way. I've seen patients respond to that within minutes when their blood sugar has really dropped out. And of course, in an emergency situation, you want to call emergency services where they can inject you with a high dose of glucose and saline.
Talk to me about what an emergency situation for somebody might feel like.
A patient will start losing consciousness. They'll get blurry vision. They literally can turn ashen gray, and they can pass out.
And so how does somebody, you're talking about the type 2, how it's a slow onset. It's not like you just wake up one day and you have it. Mm-hmm. What are some signs that people should be looking for that maybe they are diabetic?
Cardinal ones, blurry vision, excessive thirst, fatigue, frequency in your urination, hunger, and weight loss.
Okay.
If you have any of those combinations, you want to speak to your physician about it.
The combination, so just one's probably okay.
Yeah. We're all going to be thirsty.
All right.
We're all going to have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, some more than others, too. You're listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I have Dr. Schoen here in the studio with me. We're talking about diabetes, and we're going to get a bit more into wound care and why it's so important, especially for your feet if you're diabetic. But, Doctor, can you talk to me a little bit about how diabetes really impacts wounds and their maybe inability to heal?
I would be happy to. Diabetes has a number of effects on the body. In the world of podiatry, what we see is essentially three things. One, how it affects the arteries. Two, the nerves. And three, the skin. And the skin I include as an organ unto itself. When you get diabetes, in my office, we monitor your blood flow at every visit. Not only the large arteries of the foot and ankle, but also the small arteries. With diabetes, it particularly affects the small arteries. And with the effect being a closing of the small arteries, then that affects the skin's ability to be able to heal. You have prolonged, if not absent, abilities for the wound to heal because the small vessels are the things that supply our our skin and our tissues from healing. And of course, everybody's heard of diabetic neuropathy.
Mm-hmm.
And that can make a patient unaware of something happening. And if I was to give you two takeaway messages for today, one, and probably the most important one, and we stress this both in the wound care center and in my office, is the patient has to inspect their feet morning and evening. And if they see something, somebody's got to put their eyes on it within 24 hours. The reason for that is diabetics, because of their arteries and the skin issues, develop infections more rapidly than most people.
And maybe a little bit less likely to notice them, too.
But, yes, sir.
You know, we got a lot of time coming up. The phone lines are open. We have about 40 minutes left. If you have a question for Dr. Schoen about diabetes, anything related to that, please give us a call. And if you're too shy and you don't want to have your voice go over the radio, you can still call 904-340-1045. We have a wonderful producer, Carlton, back there in the studio. He'll take your question. We can answer it right on air for you. Stay with us. Welcome back to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I have Dr. Schoen here in the studio with me. We are talking all things diabetes and most importantly, wound care. And we have a whole another about 35 minutes really delve into this. But this show is all about you. The phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. So let's go straight to the phone lines. We have Darla over on the west side. Darla, how are you today?
I'm good. I have a question for the doctor. I have pretty much throughout my entire life, as long as I can remember, I've been plagued with like spider veins around my feet.
Yes, ma'am.
And poor circulation. And so as a result of that, I get like tingling in my legs and my feet, and I constantly have to move them around. You know, can't cross my legs or anything like that. And then on top of that, I'm diagnosed with diabetes. And so I have like a foot fungus that won't go away. And so you're talking about all these wounds and stuff, and I'm adding this up thinking this isn't looking good for my feet. So, and the foot fungus, I guess it's probably like an athlete's foot or something like that, but I find it extremely embarrassing. So I haven't even had that checked out.
Well, the good news is whether it's a fungus infection of the skin and or of the nails, it is easily treated. And relatively simple. The first thing I would do is, first of all, make sure that your skin stays dry, because funguses like three environments, dark, warm, and moist. Now, the issue as far as the diabetes and the tingling can be together in the fact that you may indeed be a patient who has either diabetic neuropathy or diabetes with poor circulation. Those two really need to be evaluated and to see what level's at, because those two can be treated.
Okay. And what exactly is the... I'm not real familiar with the medical term of the neuropathy. Is that like the nerves or what?
Yes, ma'am. Neuropathy in diabetes is like a short-circuiting of the nerve.
Uh-huh.
If you've ever seen the wiring in your house, it's got a plastic coating before you get to the copper inside.
Mm-hmm.
That plastic coating is the insulation that protects the wire from short-circuiting. The same thing happens in our nerves. We have something called Schwann cells that cover our nerves that are our insulation. The insulation then, with diabetes, goes away and you get a short circuiting. And that's where a lot of patients get their numbness, burning, and or tingling.
Hey, Darla, do you have a minute to hold on the line? We're going to hard break right now, but I'd love to delve a little bit more into any questions you might have for Dr. Schoen.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, just stay on the line. And coming up next, Trish has a look at your roads coming in from the north side, checking to see if those problems still continue. Stay with us. Listen to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. It is brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. I have Dr. Schoen here in the studio with me, and we are talking diabetes prevention, wound care, how to treat it, how to live with it, living with a better quality of life. And I'm so excited to talk about this because it affects so many people. And I do apologize to Darla. We had to cut you off. I did have a hard break right there. But you are back live on Ask the Doctor. For anybody that's just tuning in right now, can you go ahead and say your question one more time?
I was inquiring about my feet. My circulation is in the spider veins and the foot fungus and the tingling in my legs and my feet.
Miss Darla, how long have these been going on, ma'am?
Well, the spider veins, those have been, that's been going on for, oh gosh, many, many years. I think I probably started getting those as like a teenager. And the tingling in my legs pretty much all of my life too, as far back as I can remember. But it just got worse as time went on. And, you know, to the point that it's just very unsightly. And, you know, I've done the cosmetic thing, which just doesn't work. On those for, you know, more than 3 months, and they're right back where they were again. And so I kind of consider that a waste of money and stopped doing that. But the tingling is really bad, and it's just something that I have to, that I live with. I mean, it'll keep me from going to sleep at night.
Have you spoken with your doctor about this, ma'am?
I did, and I had some other health issues going on, and I have medication for diabetes, but he didn't seem to think mm-hmm. that was the most important thing to do, was to take care of that until my other stuff was taken care of. Which leads me to my other question, is that I don't even, other than my foot fungus, I mean, obviously I would need to see a podiatrist for that. But about my other feet problems, I don't even know what kind of doctor I would go to for that.
You can start with podiatry. We're trained in all sorts of care for the foot and leg, not only the skin, but the muscles, the bones, and we treat the arteries and the nerves.
Okay. Well, that certainly seems like something that I'm ready to do, because it's just come to the point that it interferes with my sleep and stuff. And so I guess then I'm ready to take that next step.
It's... and the nice thing is there's some very good, highly effective treatments that are non-invasive. So the first place I would see is your primary care doctor. Have them send you to one of their colleagues who is in podiatry, and have one of us evaluate you, check your circulation, check your nerves. And there's, like I said, a lot of good treatments for this now. A lot of attention in medicine is being paid to the diabetic, and this is one of the areas that's been very positively affected, even in my career.
Okay. Well, I'm certainly going to follow up on that. So, absolutely, and thank you. You've been very helpful.
My pleasure.
Actually, more information than I've gotten, and you give me hope, so thank you very much.
There's a lot of good podiatrists in the community, so take advantage of it.
Okay.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks, Darla. Have a good day. Just everybody also, thank you so much for calling in. Apparently our mics were still on during the commercial break, and thanks for letting us know. It is live radio and things like that happen, but without your help, we wouldn't know what to do. Also, I just want to throw out that if you do have a question for Dr. Schoen and you're a little bit too shy to go on air, you can always call in. The number's 904-340-1045. Just leave a question with Carlton, our producer. He's behind the board right now, and we will get to it, I promise you. Some people are a little bit shy going on air. I certainly certainly understand. We're talking about diabetes and wound care and how important it is to really check your feet. And so you were saying during the last break that people need to be checking their feet twice a day?
Yes. We at our office give a very extensive handout that's been put together over many years on things to look for in the foot and leg in affiliation with diabetes. But the Cliff Notes version is very, very simple. Number one, you inspect your foot top and bottom twice a day. And if you see any changes between the last time you examined yourself and this time, you need to have somebody examine it within a day or so. It's really important in the diabetic because infection is really the enemy. And in the diabetic, their ability to fight infection is not as good as others. So having somebody see you and then treat it quickly will give you rewards that you just don't, you don't know. Because if you wait too long, that's when the big infections, the bone and tissue infections can happen. If it's treated early, it's much more simple. So that's my one piece of advice. The other one is make sure your shoes fit properly.
I've heard that before.
It's true. I can't tell you how many patients come in and their toes are compressed and it causes, again, breakdown in the tissue because a lot of people, they don't feel it. So we follow the recommendations from the American Academy of Podiatric Sports Medicine, which recommends that you buy your shoes in the middle of the afternoon. And when you're standing in them, there's no pressure from side to side, and there's a finger's width between the end of the shoe and the end of your longest toe. This doesn't mean, especially for women, that you can't wear your nice shoes, you know, for special occasions. But when you're going to be on your feet, shopping, taking the kids out and about, that's when you want to make sure that the shoe gear fits properly. It saves you a world of headache.
And thank you so much to somebody who just called in. Like I said, if you're a little bit too shy to go out over air, we understand. The number to call, 904-340-1045. Leave a question with Carlton, our producer, right now, and we'll go ahead and answer it. So somebody just called in and did just that. And she said that she has a lot of pain in her feet. And they say, I'm assuming she's talking about her doctors, that she doesn't have diabetes but has all the symptoms. Is there any other ways to tell?
There's extensive studies that can be done to run down what the pain is coming from. The first thing I would do is speak with your doctor, and if he or she is having difficulty, then there are specialists who actually specifically work on diabetes. These are endocrinologists. There are some really wonderful endocrinologists in our community, and that would tell us most definitively if the patient has diabetes. But pain in the foot can come from many things. It's not only diabetes. So speak to your doctor. Have him or her evaluate it. If indeed there's still some question, then have them ask the doctor to have you sent to a specialist to break it down and continue working the problem.
So we're talking about diabetes and wound care, and specifically right now, the feet. And you were talking about how important it is to care for your wounds. And I'm just wondering, are there any types of home remedies and or over-the-counter medications people should stay away from?
Great question. And the answer is absolutely. The first thing that I would highly recommend is don't ever, ever, ever use topical corn removers.
Really?
Absolutely. This is actually a type of acid, and it doesn't know the difference between normal tissue and abnormal tissue. If you have poor circulation, or if you can't feel things from diabetic neuropathy, you can literally get a second-degree burn, and I've treated more than I'd like to.
Whew.
As a matter of fact, if you read the paper that comes inside these products, it'll say, if you're diabetic, do not use them. I would also not use anything that's like a razor, where they have these automated shaving systems.
I've seen those.
And I've also put a patient in the hospital for a secondary burn from that, mm-hmm. because she didn't feel that she burned herself.
Because of the lack of nerve endings right there on the feet. And so one of the tips I was reading before doing the show was that if you're diabetic, you're putting your feet on, is to make sure that you are checking the inside of your shoes for pebbles and that kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. When I was on active duty with the Navy, I had actually had to train some of our aviation officer candidates and our Marines when they're in the field to put a sock over their boot to prevent things from crawling in. And they would. Brown recluse spiders, very common. But in this area...
Right, we aren't talking about spiders necessarily.
Well, actually, we are. They are around here, and I've treated more than my share. And they will. They live and they love dark, warm places.
Mm-hmm.
So the number one, turn your shoe. If the shoes are on the outside, turn them over. Make sure there's no critters in there. Also, yes, definitely put your hand in there. I've had more than one patient that has a little nail sticking through. They didn't feel it, and they ended up with a severe ulceration.
And now somebody, let's say they have a sore on their foot, and they're diabetic, obviously, because that's the topic of the conversation, but they have a minor wound on their foot. Should they go ahead and talk to their doctor, contact their doctor right away because of it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
My go-to immediate treatment is a type of iodine solution, no ointment, dry dressing, and get your stop walking on it. And get yourself in to be seen by your doctor.
All right, let's go ahead and go to the phone line. Sheila, Sheila over in Georgia. I do believe you are on Ask the Doctor. Thanks for listening all the way up in Georgia.
Oh, you're welcome.
So what's up?
I know you're talking about diabetes, and I don't know if my question pertains to that or not. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Ever since about August of last year, I've been having swelling in my feet and ankles, my hands, and the past 2 months, my face had a little swelling. I mean, I can gain 5 pounds in 2 days. But when I went to the doctor for a physical back in August, he gave me some water pills to take, but he said don't take them every day. And he also, when he listened to my chest, he thought he heard something he said was mitral valve prolapse, whatever that is. And but I've been having little chest pains in the middle of my chest.
How long have the chest pains been going on, ma'am?
About 9 months. They're not debilitating, but you know, like somebody's like stabbing me in the middle of my chest for a second or two, then it goes away.
Are you having any shortness of breath today or in the last few days?
No.
I would definitely speak to your doctor who you saw in August. Tell him that the chest pains have continued, the swelling has continued, and that it has not gotten much better. And I would do that sooner rather than later, ma'am.
Yeah, he wanted me to have an echocardiogram, but I lost my insurance, so that's not... That's not an option for me.
Well, at least speak to your doctor and update him or her of your current situation. Because 8 or 9 months is a while if you're still swelling up and having chest pains.
Yeah, and one night I was up most of the night because both of my arms were hurting as well.
When something like that is happening, Ms. Sheila, don't hesitate to go to the emergency room.
Oh, okay, because I didn't want to, you know, when it goes away like that, I feel like I'm wasting their time if I go to the ER, you know.
No, ma'am, I can tell you everybody in medicine has a rule. It's better to check in and not need it than need it and not check it.
Yeah, and I've been a little concerned because my mom's whole family has heart trouble. And my mom died 2 years ago from heart failure. She had congestive heart failure and all, she had a bypass, you know, but she was swell.
That's why I would definitely get hold of your doctor. You have a family history of issues. It's still there, and it hasn't gotten better. So those are three good reasons.
See, I thought if you had heart trouble and you had chest pain, that you'd go ahead and have a heart attack. But I've heard from other people that it can go on little pains for like a year, and then you'll have one. Is that true?
It can be either. It can be both. And it's not something to ignore.
Yeah.
I would, especially if you had a night where you were feeling difficulty laying down and in both your arms. That if you were my family member, I would have called the ambulance.
Yeah, I think my boyfriend thinks I'm a hypochondriac.
Like I said, check it out. It's better to check it and be wrong than not check it and be right.
Hey, well, thanks so much for the phone call, Sheila. We really do appreciate you. And we do have a little bit more time coming up on Ask the Doctor. We have Dr. Shoney in the studio. We're going to talk about Wound Care Hyperbaric Center. We're going to talk about his practice down in Clay. And stay with us. News, traffic, weather coming up next. Welcome back to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I have Dr. Schoen here in the studio with me. We've been talking about diabetes, wound care, and everything. And one of the coolest things I think that you guys do, specifically St. Vincent's, and I guess at your practice or near your practice down in for Clay people, is a hyperbaric center. And it's, can you explain that a little bit? Because I feel like you'll do a much better job than I will.
Yes, sir. We have St. Vincent's. In all three facilities have a advanced wound care center, Riverside, Southside, and now in the new Clay County Hospital. In the professional office building, we have a full service wound care center with hyperbaric oxygen. And I've had the pleasure of being actually part of this group since they opened, since my office is on the second floor and wound care is on the first floor. I've had a great opportunity to work with these people. They have some of the most advanced wound care therapies available in medicine. And one of the ones that I have been using for well over 25 years is hyperbaric oxygen. As we were talking about earlier in the segment,
well, I guess we're out of time. But
okay.
Here's the thing, though, is that people can just call you up. You accept walk-ins, and then you can explain all this in person, right?
Be more than happy to.
All right. So the phone number, if you'd like to reach Dr. Schoen in person, it's going to be 904-291-4885. Again, that's 904-291-4885. Doctor, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Have
all right.
A great day.
We'll do it again. News, weather, traffic coming up next for real this time, I promise.